Okay, got to look at the script here. It is the 13th of March. It's 10:29. House Special Committee on Economic Development, Trade, and Tourism. Present is Representative Tuck, Representative Keller, Representative Munoz, and myself, Bob Heron. If you have a cell phone, please put it on silent. Today, one presentation, and that is the proposed South Denali Visitor Center. And presenting will be Ben Ellis, Director of State Parks. And Ben, good morning. Put yourself on the record. Representative Foster has joined us as well. And Representative Tuck is interested in this because I understand you're going to make a movie about South Denali visitors. And Representative Munoz has tourists that are going through Juneau on the way. And, of course, Representative Keller has a particular interest. This may be part of his new district. So please, sir, the floor is
yours. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee. My name is Ben Ellis. I'm the director of the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation within the Department of Natural Resources. And today I have the chance to talk to you about one of the most exciting projects we've ever done within parks. It's about 40 years in the making, is my understanding, that this has been kicked around, looked at, discussed, well over 200 and some odd public meetings. At one point, let me back up. This has always been a collaborative type of process. And when it began, the National Park Service had the lead on this. And they were looking at the facilities. It would be on state park lands. That was our contribution. And the Matsu Borough was involved because of the location. As things moved, about 6 months before I took the job, which was a year ago last January, the focus moved from a national park leadership on it to a state of Alaska leadership on it. And so we have been working with our partners, and there's been a lot of, we've had an EIS on the area. Back in 2009, an interpretive master plan was created. And I do have one copy with me. I can leave it with the chair if you'd like to look at it. And in the interpretation and the focus and the mission and the feel of this, of what we're going to be talking about today, is captured in here. The design, the location, the exact location, the pinpoint location, we're still working on those areas as far as the two facilities I'll be talking to you about today. But the feel and the intent is captured in this document. In front of you, you should have a copy of the PowerPoint presentation I'm going to be making. You know, it's always a pet peeve of mine that you can't see these things when you are trying to look at them. So I've made them full size for you. And also, if you want to take notes on the upside, you have a chance to do that. So you have that. We have a new South Denali Visitor Center brochure that tries to capture some of the aspects of it. And then you have a copy of a University of Alaska Center of Economic Development, both a feasibility study, and then halfway through you should see a colored page, and right behind that is an economic impacts study for the project. I will be hitting a little bit on this, but I'm not going to delve in it too much. And the reason is that we're under contract again with the university to take this and flesh it out to make an operational business plan. The information in here, we think on not a 35,000 foot scale, but a 10,000 foot scale is accurate. But we want to make sure that we have the issues on operations, maintenance, staffing, very well defined. Given some other facilities that the state's been dealing with recently, we want to make sure that ours is spot on as far as what we say we will be able to do. Mr. Chairman, however you would like it, I can, if you'd like to stop me during my presentation, that's fine, or you can wait however you'd like to do that. But this would be the view that you're looking at from, and you'll see several different shots of this from the visitor center located within Denali State Park. It's a beautiful view. In fact, the National Park Service had done a study a few years ago. You actually see the mountain more from the south side than you can from their side as far as the mountains are concerned. So that was one of the reasons that a number of years ago the South Side Project was looked at. It was also looked at in the sense of helping try to relieve some of the pressure within Denali National Park and Preserve, and try to provide a visitor experience that could be a little more robust than what they can provide within their stipulations. And this is, as we're flying down, that's the park's highway. And the park boundary, and I know some of you won't be able to see it, the park boundary basically starts right in this area here and includes this whole thing. This is Curry Ridge, and Kasugi Ridge is behind, running this way. This is the turnoff for the Princess Hotel. And to give you a better feeling of what we're talking about, if you will, this is Denali National Park and Preserve. This is our common border for Denali State Park. It drops down, it comes across. It's right at the bridge, basically. And it comes up the river back up here. We're talking about 321,000 acres. And that right now there's only like two, I would call development, recreational development in there. One is the Byers Lake Campground, and this area here, which is a state park, and also the Kasugi Ridge Trail, which is approximately 30 miles long. It's about a three-day backpacking, camping hike in some of the most incredible views and areas that we've got basically on this planet. What we're talking about is a facility that is based right in this section right down here. And we will zoom in on it just a little bit more.
Can I ask?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman?
Please go ahead.
How do you access the trailhead there? Is there a trailhead, and how do you access it?
Mr. Chair, through the chair, Representative Munoz, how do we access the...
If you wanted to hike the trail, how would you access it?
There's one at... there is an access within Byers Lake that puts you on it. And there is another one up in this area, and I, for the life of me, can't remember what that trailhead is called there. We already have a number of experiences in the Denali State Park, whether it's public use cabins, RVs, camping, hiking, rafting, snow machining, dog sledding, skiing, snowshoeing, mountain biking, winter biking. It is an all year round destination for outdoor adventurists. This particular project that we're looking at, again, as I mentioned earlier, is a cooperative project and partnership between the state of Alaska, the Mat-Su Borough, the National Park Service, and of those three entities, we have a memorandum of agreement signed by the three groups to work collaboratively on this process. And we have a very important part of private enterprise that I'll talk about in a few minutes involved in this also. Again, this is one of the views that would be from just outside. If you were standing outside the visitor center would be behind us that you would be seeing. You know, the South Denali Visitor Center complex, and you'll see why I keep using this word complex, is more than just a building. We identify in the interpretive master plan that there are four topics: to share the beauty of the South Denali region, provide a unique visitor experience, enhance recreational opportunity, and provide educational and interpretive activities. This, if you in this picture, this is Lake 1787. which is right behind where the visitor center would be. The visitor center would be located over in this area right here, looking toward Denali. Gives you an idea again. Sort of the concept is that, and we'll talk about once people get to the visitor center, but there would be trails in this area that would actually go up to this spot, which is a little bit more dynamic as far as the view is concerned. So, you know, we're going to be encouraging people not to just go to this building and look at the exhibits, but we envision it as a gateway into not only this area, but also into hiking, backpacking, overnight camping in more of a wilderness thing, along with campgrounds that we'll talk about in a few minutes. Let me orientate you to this map for just a few minutes. This is the Parks Highway that we're dealing with. This Anchorage is down here. The black would be roads. The reds are either, some of them are existing trails or proposed trails. This is the lake that we were just looking at, 1787. South Denali South Scenic Overlook that many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with is right in this area right here. Originally, we were looking at an access that would come up in this area, which is a fairly steep access. But then we were contacted by United Companies, Inc. It's a telephone communications company owned by Sea Lion Corp, the village of Hooper Bay. And they own this 160-acre track. It's kind of hard to see here, but I think on your handout you'll be able to see it better. And we have an agreement with them that, number one, provides a right-of-way for a road through their area up into what's called the transportation hub. Once this visitor center is fully funded, then they will donate this 130 acres of the 160 acres, leaving them approximately 30 acres in this section, roughly. It's not staked out or anything, but that's the area, and they have an interest in putting a hotel in that area. So we would enter from the Parks Highway until we end up doing the whole project. We won't be putting in that roundabout, but the road will come up at a much lesser grade and come into what I'll show you, a blow up of the transportation hub. The concept is that during the peak seasons of the summer, there will be a shuttle system that will run up to the visitor center. In non-peak seasons, in shoulder seasons, for example, we would be looking at pullouts that people can pull over and hike, or they can go all the way to the top and park in this area up here. Within the interpretive master plan that I had mentioned earlier, it was an overwhelming feeling that the facility and sitting up here on top of the hill should not be a monolith on top of the mountain, that it should be somewhat hidden, if you would, from the Parks Highway. Much like if you've been to the Eielson Visitor Center within Denali Park and Reserve, as you pull up to it, you're pulling up and the top of the building's like grass, and you have to go around to the side to be able to access it. Ours is not going to be designed like that, but the concept is the feeling was, don't pave the parking lot up here. Have it down here so that people are going, you know, 65 to 75 miles an hour here. We want to drop them down to, you know, a 35 or 40-mile feeling to a 10 to 15-mile feeling to walking. So as we're building this, we're looking at the entire sort of visitor experience. What this transportation shuttle is going to be, we are still looking at those options. The thing that we are trying to avoid is just putting them on a bus. And so we've looked at a number of types of vehicles that would move people up and back. We're also looking at providing, you know, an experience for those that are on a tour, for an example, to maybe take two and a half hours be able to make this circuit. But for those that are Alaskans or that want to get up here and to hike around, that experience may be 4, 5, 6 hours, could be longer. So we're very aware of that. We're also looking at a trail, this red that goes along here, that would be available for people to either bike or hike up. We're talking about a little over a three-mile road here, and this is over a little over a one-mile stretch here. And we may come back to this later on if you have some questions about location and so forth. As we come up into the what we're calling the transportation hub, and we're working on a better name than that, we're providing that tour buses will be able to drop off people in this area, and people with their cars would drive along, and there would be a parking facility down in this area over here, along with campgrounds. And this would be a campground that is much like Byers Lake, and we're in the process of looking at how many campsites we would be looking at and be able to provide. I think we're in the, just going to throw out, I think we're in the 75 to 100 campsite concept right now, but we're still, we haven't gotten to the design of that part of the program yet. Again, the concept, this would be a ranger station and the beginning of a very interactive interpretation experience for the Denali region. We received a $1 million grant from the, and I'll, it'll be in a slide later on, but a $1 million grant from the Scenic Byways project, and that is specifically for INTERP in this transportation hub area. As I said, there will be a ranger station, which is at Byers Lake. All of our maintenance, our rangers station, and so forth, is a fairly dilapidated set of structures within Byers Lake. All of that would be moved to this area here. And then the visitor would be able to experience some interpretation here and then board our shuttle system to go up to the top of the to see the facility. There's some mountain views from some of the trails. From this location right here, there's not really a great view of Denali. Now, looking at cost, looking at a total project cost of $36 million, and that does not include electrical grid extension on Park High, on the Parks Highway, which I'll mention and go into in just a few minutes. We're looking at the lower access road, transportation hub and trails, and again, that is, we're looking at, in other words, this section right here. And the reason I point that out is that during the interpretive plan, all of the agencies agreed that until the entire project was funded, the public and the agencies were very concerned about building this access road to the top with nothing up there. And so we've made a commitment to focus our first efforts on this lower section here in a phased approach, and I'll go into that in just a few minutes more. You have the breakdowns of the various components there with the road to visitor center about $4.5 million with an estimate of the visitor center at $19 million. So where are we to date? Well, right now we have right at $13 million that we've received through two state appropriations and the Scenic Byways grant that I was mentioning. The first was general funds in FY09, and that was $8.9 million. Last year, there was $3 million in it that you funded for us. And then our million-dollar Scenic Byways grant, of which DOT was actually, I think, very supportive and only took out a very small percentage for their overhead on it.
So the $12 million, those were governor requests or were they legislator requests?
Those two were governor requests, sir. The remaining funded needed is $23 million for the building project. I mentioned the electrical cost. Basically, if you look, this map is a terrible map to see, and I had to shrink it down to be able to put it all on one page. Right here is the Talkeetna cutoff that we're looking at right here. Okay. Sunrise is somewhere right in here, and that's where three-phase power stops. For a facility like this, we need three-phase power or diesel, one of the two. From here, single phase goes through Trapper Creek and ends about here. So what we would need to do is extend the three phase from Sunrise all the way through to the visitor center. MEA projects that total of about $6 million. Their original estimate was almost $9 million. They came back and they sharpened their pencil a little bit more. It's $5 million, $700,000 and some change, something like that. They're short of $6 million. I mentioned public-private partnerships. Princess, which is located right in this section right here, has committed to providing $1 million for this extension. Therefore, the funding needed remaining is $5 million. Just to look at the yellow here is private property. The green is borough property. And once we get up past this area within Denali State Park, we have to go to almost the other end of the park before we start getting in holdings of private property. This would provide a great incentive for this corridor for economic development, and I think we can already see that in the UCI Hooper Bay concept of a lodge there.
Yes, please go ahead.
UCI is
Natty Utilities.
Oh, thank you.
Ben, before you move on, is on the previous slide $23 million. Now, and you're explaining the $5 million that we need for electrical. So, of this $23 million, take out the electrical. What makes the most sense for the next chunk of money to come from? I mean, there has probably to make it to eventually get to it, it'd be better to this piece needs to come before this piece. What do you think would be the next logical chunk of money that, you know, the people all involved would need to aggressively pursue more than the other parts of the $23 million?
Mr. Chair, I believe that we'd be looking at more of the design of the actual building. Right now, the design that we're looking at is of the transportation hub. So the funding, I could break that out for you. I don't have it on the top of my head, but we do have those figures about what the design of the actual unit be. And we'd also be looking at the road alignment up to it. So those would be two things we'd have to do, obviously, before we'd be ready to do any construction.
Okay.
Quickly, I'll go through. Mr. Chair, what time do we need to be wrapped up here?
Everybody's busy, but, just keep
moving.
Pace, yeah.
This is strictly a conceptual view of the Vista Center. This is the backside. We'd be looking at the mountain with the concept of an amphitheater. Inside, this is flipped around. We were looking at it from this side a while ago in that picture. I didn't mention that lower space on the transportation hub. We're looking at 6,000 square feet, and in this area, we're looking at 16,000 square feet. This area has not been designed, as I was mentioning it, at all. This simply is a concept of which we will refine. One of the questions we're working on is we would like to have this visitor center, at least some of it, open year-round for winter use as well. But it also is going to be designed to go cold. So if we have to, we will. As you'll see in a few minutes, the majority of the funding, overwhelming majority of the funding, comes in the summertime. So depending upon what are the needs are, I want to be able to have this accessible for cross-country skiers to go in and get, you know, warm and hot chocolate and that kind of thing. But we wouldn't necessarily keep all of this open in the wintertime. Interactive exhibits. We're looking at a state-of-the-art facility, again, that tries to encourage people to get outside, not stay inside. But for those that are, especially on tours, this may be physically the best that they can do as far as experiencing Denali State Park. Quickly, I'll just go through the work that the University of Alaska Center for Economic Development has. You have much more detail in the documents that I've provided you. And I can later on answer questions or come back with answers if I don't know them. They used a composite forecast model methodology. They used a baseline visitation of 230,600 visitors. And that's a fairly conservative estimate when you realize that 303,000 visit Denali and National Park in 2010. They also looked at visitor and counts in three other national parks in the area.
Before you move on, yes, to the next slide, obviously Princess is nearby, and it's in their interest to be a part of this. What is their official comments on this project?
Very supportive of it, sir.
They'll put that in writing.
Yes, sir, I believe so. But you'd have to ask them. When we're talking about trying to project visitation, especially from the tour industry, they've been a party at the table and commenting on what type of addition this would be to their tour package. We look at the revenue that we're looking at. The primary revenue would be what I'm calling a transit fee. That's the, say, $10 charge that would be to get from the lower, the transportation up to the visitor center. There wouldn't be an entrance fee as such. When you look at campgrounds and tour operations, food, books, all those other types of things, which we would envision a concession, especially and the tour operator and food and bookstore, is projected another $625,000 a year.
Chair. Yes, Representative Gardner.
Going back to the transit fee, what would you anticipate would be the fee for that 3-mile ride from the parking area to the visitor center? And would there be a fee for somebody who walked or biked in?
Through the chair, Representative Gardner, there would be no fee for anybody that walked or biked in. And we're anticipating that our revenue would be $10 per person on that. We're looking at, and I'm very committed to providing some type of an Alaskan pass or an Alaskan, I don't know, we haven't gotten there yet, but some opportunities so that Alaskans aren't paying that every time they go up and that they have a annual pass. I may mention here, information was put together, we were over at the National Park Service, and Sumaska, the regional administrator for the national park, said, you know, what we really need is a Denali pass so that, you know, we share and you guys get, you know, some. And if somebody buys a Denali pass, they get the state park and they get the Denali National Park and Preserve. And I said, that's a great idea. We'd really like to work on that. So the numbers that we're talking about here, they haven't addressed those kinds of things. And that's one of the reasons we're having a further in-depth study on the economics, both on the income and on the operations side. Preliminary look is that the facility maintenance for the two facilities is about $1 million a year. Don't get sticker shock on this next one. Staffing at a little less than $500,000. That would be positions in that would look at state, National Park Service, MATSU boroughs, and volunteer stipends. When you look at state employees, which I know we're interested in, we're looking at potentially, and that's why we're drilling down this more so I can be certain, we're looking at 3 full-time positions, possibly 5 seasonal positions. That's what we're looking at. The National Park Service has talked about, and we're moving into some an agreement on this before we move much further, of taking their Talkeetna staff and moving it to this location and being able to service the folks they use at Talkeetna as part of our operations here. We've talked about the MATSU Borough maybe providing a person there. We're still in discussions. I don't know if that will work out, but I'm very, very certain that we will have some type of agreement with the National Park Service. This also, when we look at this, these numbers, this includes the entire complex we're looking at. This is the lower, the transportation hub. It's the visitor center, and it's the campgrounds. Utilities in operation, about $240,000. The university projects at the first year about a $1.25 million margin or surplus. In the total feasibility study, and I really encourage you to look through it. It's got some fascinating information. They talk about $1.2 million in the initial year, and they project $2.8 million annually by 2023 with an assumption of a modest 3% visitor growth. So, again, this is an area that we're wanting to drill down into even more so we're sure about these numbers. Of course, you have the caveat, you know, it's contingent upon timing and startup and marketing and the basic thing is there's no debt service. That's why there's a margin there. Overall economic impacts, you know, projected expenditures, by state and federal government, private individuals, and then they put in this multiplier of indirect and induced spending. Look at the state of Alaska, you know, but the region and locally. And the construction and operation phase impact expenditures and new jobs. The study shows that during the construction and through operations that there'll be, you know, and this, as we said, this is a phased approach. We're starting, I should have mentioned this earlier, we're starting to put the road in, the lower access road in this summer. That's the first part of our work. Depending upon weather and depending upon mainly weather and how we get on the road, we hope that we will be able to at least start the lower visitor center complex or lower visitor center transportation hub this late fall, if not early spring next year. We have a design architectural firm on hand, and they're starting to work on designing that 6,000 feet visitor center transportation hub. So this looks at the construction spending overall averaging about $13 million annually, 230 new jobs. Once it's up, operation at about $1.9 million annually, 39 new jobs. And additional spending by visitors, residents, et cetera, This is a big number, $30.6 million annually. That's once this thing has matured and looking at additional businesses. They're coming on, longer stays in the area. So 600 and 600 new jobs.
So, Ben, is there, has the governor requested any money in this year's budget?
Chairman, here a note. We are looking at, as I said, we're wanting to make sure that our numbers are right. I don't want to get down the road and come back and be sitting in front of me saying, wow.
So,
if
with the help of all the legislators, if we were able to find some dollars somewhere, I think the commissioner and the governor would be supportive of any inclusion of some money into this project in the current capital?
I always hate to say what my boss and his boss will do. I can say that they've been very supportive of the project overall and in the past. I also think that, as we all know, there's competition for various projects. We did get funding last year. So I look at this as that, all of a sudden they're not supportive, but they're trying to weigh all the options and trying to move this along in a very logical manner.
So on behalf of Representative Foster, do you have any additional kind comments? You can talk about Sea Lion Corp and their contributions.
Well, I tell you, they've been fantastic to work with, we've dealt with them, and mostly, we've dealt with UCI, they've been very cooperative. They provided an access to this area that it slightly reduced the cost. It would have reduced the cost a little more had it not been longer access to the point we need to get to. But it's made a better access because I think we were over close to 20% grade on the original access road, and theirs brings it down. I know believe it's like maybe 7 or 8% grade. So it'll be a much better, safer access through their area, and we really appreciate that, along with the economic impact that I think that it will end up creating.
So Representative Newman has been a huge advocate of this?
Yes, sir. In fact, I'm supposed to see him later on today, and he wasn't able to come this morning. I mentioned to him that I was doing this morning, but he's not able to be here, but I'll be talking to him later today, sir.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Ellis? All right. Beautiful project, and of course, many of us stood on that mountaintop after the helicopter ride, and it was unbelievable. It's a beautiful place.
Yes, sir. Thanks, sir. I will get you those figures and areas of what we could do with various additional monies, and then you can.
Yes, Representative Keller.
I would like to underline your spoken desire to give Alaskans an extra added advantage. That is, from my perspective, incredibly important. I resent having a railroad in Alaska that I can barely afford to ride. Mm-hmm. And this is an incredible asset and pride for the state. So, yeah, whatever we can do to make it so it's accessible to Alaskans.
Yes, sir. The chair, to follow up on that just briefly, I didn't mention the transportation shuttle is not operating. In other words, when it's not mid-season, there would be no cost. There would be no fee to drive up on the shoulder season areas into that area. Mm-hmm. In there, wintertime, we're looking at the possibility of a snowcat kind of opportunity to take people up, and there would be a fee for that. That would be a concession that we'd be looking at.
Okay, thank you, Ben. A little bit of housekeeping for committee members is we have no legislation in our committee. If you have any ideas for any future hearings, it'd be appreciated. Representative Munoz has an idea on maybe some a tourism interim project that we could do, but as everyone knows, this time of the day is valuable for the rest of the session for other commitments. So do not anticipate any more committee hearings this session. But that's only up to 90 days. Maybe we'll have to have something in overtime. Okay. Debbie, it is 11:08. We're adjourned. Thank you.